reading to you from Proverbs, the 27th Proverb and the first verse. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ. Over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been preaching ever since. Had a wonderful time, my wife and I, at the rescue mission the other night. My, my. The place was almost packed, and it was a warm night. Usually, it's really packed when it's either raining or snowing or cold. But this particular night, it was warm, and we had a great... And I don't know how many were saved. 10 or 12 came forward. I tell you, dear friends, it does my heart so much good to be able to go to prisons and places. And I never preach without inviting people to put their trust in Christ. You know, most churches today don't do that. And I don't understand. Why do they preach? Preach the word, it says. Go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Well, our churches, all of us are going to have to stand before God and give an account for our lives, for what we've not done. Listen, be with you for half an hour. Won't you kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea and a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 20th chapter of 2 Kings, and let's begin reading with the first verse. In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it came about before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add 15 years to your life. And I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then Isaiah said, Take a cake of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Well, dear friends, listen. I have labeled this, getting ready to die. Now, death is a subject that we don't like to spend any time on. Now, death insurance is called life insurance, and cemeteries become memorial gardens. Few sermons are given to preparing for death. Now, the king who was told to get ready to die in verse 1, in those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Friends, I tell you, I remember when I was attending Bible school back in 1958, I believe it was. I was roofing in the daytime and going to college at night. Well, I started having temperature in the daytime, and by night it'd be 103, 105. And next morning the temperature would be gone, and I'd get ready to go to work, and I'd work, and about 3 o'clock my temperature would start to come up. And well, one day I was out in some part of the California, I can't think of the name of the town, but anyway, it was about 90 degrees, and I was up on that roof on 90 degrees, and you're up shingle, and that is hot. But, you know, I started shaking and I started chilling. I went down. I got in my car. I turned the motor on, turned the heater on, rolled all the windows up, and lay there and shook till I thought I would freeze to death. Finally, now I got enough strength to get the car started, and I went to home. When I got there, my wife said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I don't know, but I'm so terribly sick." And she said, "We're going to take you right to the hospital." So they took me to the emergency ward, and the doctor took one look at me and says, "Take him in for an x-ray." They went and x-rayed my lung, and when I came back, the doctor said, "I'm sorry, Cecil, but you have a lung tumor." I'll tell you, friends, that flat knocked me for a loop. I was 33 years old. God had just called me to preach shortly before that. Why in the world would I get a lung tumor? That's stupid reasoning, but that's what I thought. And I remember I really was frightened. And when I went in the room to put my clothes on, I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, I'm afraid. I really am afraid. I don't want to die. I've got a family. I don't have insurance. We're just barely getting by. Lord, I just pray, if it's your will, that you heal this lung." Well, friends, I got worse and worse and worse. And finally, the doctor just gave me up to die. Now, I'm telling you, if you think that's a good experience, try it. But, you know, for 3 months, I laid and they... Finally, my wife got disturbed and she decided to change doctors. So she took me to a place down on split there, and this was a hole-in-the-wall doctor. I mean, it was a hole-in-the-wall. We went in there, and he took one look at me and said, "Son, you're about to die." I said, "That's what they tell me." He said, "But I can make you well." That's what he said. "I can make you well. You got to give me 7 days. Now, I'm going to give you a shot every day. It's a very potent shot, and it could kill you when you take it." Well, I said, "I don't have too many options, do I?" And he wouldn't put an inner tube around my arm. It looked like an inner tube. And he stuck that huge needle in my arm, and I thought I was going to pass out. It didn't hurt so much, but it went right to my head, and I was dizzy, and I could taste it. And I went home and went back the next day for 7 days. Beloved, listen to me. Sunday morning, my wife took me to church. I weighed about 120 pounds. She took me to church, and she held me up as I told them about God's love and how God had raised me up. Well, the king was told that he was getting ready to die. Now, King Hezekiah was sick, and he told he would die, so Isaiah told him to set his house in order. The king was given no hope of living. Now, lessons to learn from a dying king. We read, of course, we know that death is coming to all of us, but we read in Hebrews 9:27, "And in as much as it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes a judgment." Some people think they can live their life any way they want to, and then at the end of eternity, they can die. And then after they die, they can go to some place that's not in the Bible. And then there they can find out where they're going to spend eternity. Beloved, the Bible said, "Inasmuch as it appointed for men to die once, and after this comes a judgment." Now, you have to decide on this side of eternity where you want to spend eternity. And beloved, it's in your hands. It's in your mouth. You're the one that decides where you want to spend eternity. Well, Adam was never born, but he died. Methuselah lived 969 years, but he died. Samson was the strongest of all the men, but he died. Solomon was wiser than all, but he too died. Death is a result of sin. People don't like to hear that, but it's true. Romans 5:12-14. "Therefore, just as though through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had sinned in the liking of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Listen, without the law there was no sin. You know, friends, there are people today who actually believe they can live by the law. They really honestly believe they could live by the law. What the law was to show you and I that we could not save ourselves. Some people tell me, well, I'm going to live by the Ten Commandments. So that's fine, but you can't do it. There's nobody in this world can live by the Ten Commandments. No, sir, you cannot. And even if you could, you can't get into heaven that way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, Jesus came to die to pay for our sins. Though he was sinless, he paid the ultimate penalty for sin. Well, otherwise, he died as a substitute for sinners. Now, we read in Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own ways. But the Lord has caused this iniquity of us all to fall on him. Friends, I can't understand that hardly. He never sinned, ever sinned a day in his life. He was tempted, sure he was, same as you and I, but he never sinned. Now, what he had to do, he had to take your sins and my sins upon him, and he had to pay for it by his royal precious blood. That's exactly what he did. Now, the thing is, his resurrection proves his victory over death. Faith in Christ assures us everlasting life. These things have I written to you, who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that ye may know that you have eternal life. Now you say, Cecil, I am not a statistician. I am not a spiritual giant. What in the Sam Tar does that mean? Well, do you know what the word know means? Do you know whether you got a headache? Do you know whether you got a tummy ache? Well, he said, you may know that you're going to go to heaven, that you have eternal life. So tonight, if there's question marks in your heart and you wonder. Now, my wife kept saying, after I accepted the Lord and she saw such a change in my life, she couldn't understand why. Why she couldn't put her hand on when she was saved. She said, I'd try to go back. When did I give my heart to Christ? When did I ask Jesus into my heart? She said, I can't remember it. Well, one day the Holy Spirit of God convicted her that she was lost. And so she asked Christ to come into her heart and save her. Now it says in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. Now, we are not prepared to live until we're prepared to die. What did he say? In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Set your house in order. Get all this junk taken care of. We ought to prepare for death, and the only way we can prepare for death is by trusting Jesus. We should set our business affairs in order, and family members ought to be protected. Loved ones should not be left with debts. This brings peace of mind for now and for them later. Well, we should also set our spiritual affairs in order. What did he say in Amos 4:12? We can prepare to meet thy God. We prepare by being born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born not only physically, but you must be born spiritually. That's a definite thing in your life. You stop. You say, I recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. I recognize that I am a sinner, and I know that I can't save myself, and so you pray the sinner's prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, faith in Christ prepares us both to live and to die. Jesus makes life worth living in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. Jesus takes the sting out of dying. Did you know that? You know, years and years ago, there was an airplane full of soldier boys come back from Korea, and they were going home on a Christmas leave, and this airplane took off from Boeing Field, and it didn't clear the field, and it crashed. Everyone was killed, and they found a Bible all burned up, but just this verse of Scripture, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" Oh, friends, listen. Life then has purpose, and death is gain. Listen. The time of death is determined by the Lord. In verse 2, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, now I have walked before thee in truth, and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it came about before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court that the word of the Lord came, saying, Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus saith the Lord thy God, your father David, I have heard your prayers, and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you on the third day. You shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria." You know, friends, a man that introduced me to Christ, Tom Baird, he told me one time he prayed that he could live to be 65 years old. And you know, when he got 65 years old, he said, "Lord, could you give me an extension?" Well, I've asked the Lord if I could live to be at least 85, but if I'm able, I hope he lets me live to 90, if it's his will, and if I'm able to do that which God wants me to do. Well, see, the thing is, life has purpose and death is gain. The time of death is determined by the Lord. Hezekiah had been pronounced terminal. Prayer changed the king's dying date. He had already learned the value of prayer. 19th verse, it says, "Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, The word of the Lord which had been spoken is good. For he thought, Is it not so, if there shall be peace and truth in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the king of Judea? So Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son became king of this place. Well, prayer did change the dying date. Listen, God had delivered him from Sennacherib's army. Now he prays for God to give him years to live. Listen, God's wonderful answer to Hezekiah's prayer in verse 5 and 6. "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer and I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you on the third day. You shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you in this city from the hands of the king of Assyria." Oh, listen. God's wonderful answer to Hezekiah's prayer. He said, "I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will heal thee, and I will add into thy days 15 years. Friends, listen. That was a wonderful day in his life. Oh, listen. Let me ask you. This is personal. This is a very personal question. Is your house in order? Friends, listen, you know what? I was talking to my sister-in-law the other day, and my wife and I, we've been talking about it. We've got stuff out in our garage that should have been in a garbage dump 25 years ago. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me. I'll bet you every one of you people listening to this broadcast tonight have got baggage and junk that you need to get rid of. You're not going to take it with you. Now, you need to put your money up in heaven. You say, "Wait a minute, how you do that?" Well, for one thing, he said, "Lay not your treasures up on this earth where thief enter and steal and rust and corrode, but lay it up in heaven where there'll be no thieves." Oh, listen. Let me ask you, friend, have you been given the bad news that maybe you have terminal cancer or something? Well, I'll tell you for sure, it's frightening at first, when you first hear it. Now, but God knows all about it. You know what the problem is, friends? Most of us don't want to leave this earth because of our loved ones. That's it. That's all it is to me, just my loved ones. But my stars in the morning, friends, I got two brothers, two sisters, a mom, and a dad in heaven. We've got a reunion for the Moe family. But again, I want to see Jesus, and I hope he lets me hug his neck. Listen, if you've been told it's your terminal and they've given you up to die, pray and believe. With God, all things are possible. Father, for this day, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunities that we've given over all these 52 years. And Lord, of your will, I pray you give me a lot more years. Me and my wife, as we go to prisons and rescue missions and rest home, wherever you send us, help us to be a powerful witness for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the books and the films that you've given me that I can distribute to people all over the world and let them know that God loves them and that you want to save them. Now, friends, listen, I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know if you're born again. You do. You sure do. If you're not born again, would you bow your head to me right now and say, "Oh, God, please forgive me. I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done for you. Help me, Lord, to have my house in order, that when that time comes, I'll be ready. And dear Lord, then I open my heart right now to receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that prayer, won't you call 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call, call collect. I'll accept the charge. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. Sure won't write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Ship would be no more. that lives about me says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no need in standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to
friends, for the past half an hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you for listening tonight. Dear friends, listen. What I said tonight is true. We need to put our trust in Jesus if we're going to go to heaven. And friends, I'm telling you, if you read the Bible, you find there's a real place in hell for those who reject Christ. It is not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost, and if you're lost tonight, he's seeking your heart. Well, friends, be sure and pray for me and my wife and our health, and pray for our quartet as we go to prisons. And I tell you, friends, it's a great ministry. We're seeing souls saved. For the last 25 years, we've been seeing hundreds of, yea, thousands of souls come to Christ. So it's a worthwhile ministry. Well, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.